Well, good morning. I guess that's seven times, is it, Lita? So, have you ever watched or been involved in trying to help a child learn to ride a tricycle? That is so much fun, a tricycle. The challenge in teaching a child to ride a tricycle is in the coordination of the motor skills. And once they got that tricycle, the motor skills kind of going, then the next skill that is required to be getting them kind of more active in mobility is in the balancing department. And they move from bicycles to skateboards, to ice skates. All of these are a matter of balance. Some of us never get to those. And from then on, children continue to work on balance. From playing on a teeter-totter to walking down a railroad track to balancing a broom on the end of one's finger. When things are balanced, the job is so much easier. But when things are imbalanced, it can be a lot tougher. Like, I'm sure most of you have tried to push a wheelbarrow that wasn't balanced, and the challenge that is involved in that. Or carrying a 20-foot board, but you're not quite standing in the center. You're not carrying it in the center, and the added energy required to transport that. Or even carrying a pail of water. As long as the water itself, the pail itself, isn't too heavy, it is so much easier to carry two, one on each side, than to try to lug on one side. What about being balanced in the Christian life? Jesus Christ was the most balanced person ever to walk on this earth. He was always perfectly poised, whether he was being adored by friends or being challenged and attacked by enemies. His words and his conduct never contradicted each other. Not always understood, but never contradictory. Our Lord's followers, and I'm afraid I admit that I am there, have never always been properly balanced. We have a tendency to exaggerate or to overemphasize one aspect over another. This could be over a variety of different areas, in doctrine or in behavior. And when we do, we can become off-balanced, which may lead to error, contradiction, or even conflict. So where do we need balance? I want to share some areas that is profitable if we are able to keep balance this morning. We may have difficulty in keeping balance in keeping devotion and duty. Might I share a personal illustration here? Over my years of ministry, I have served many, many times as chaplain in the local hospitals. This has been relatively an easy task for me because of various reasons. I have personally spent time in a hospital bed, so I can remember and relate to the situation in which people are facing from their perspective. I have something to share. Words of comfort and encouragement, truth and hope from the Word of God. I don't have a hard time chatting with people that I don't know. And I know once I get there, I will have a most enjoyable time But still, it's a challenge to make the time and discipline myself to go to the hospital and do it. And I don't know why that seems to be a challenge, because I know that I'm going to be blessed in doing it, but it still seems to be a challenge to do it. Now, having said that, this is going to really sound strange, but I sincerely mean it. If you have a neighbor, friend, or family member in the hospital that would appreciate a visit from me, feel free to let me know. And I will try to get up there and visit with them. But so then what distinguishes between duty and devotion? I guess it becomes a matter of one's heart. Do we do what we do because we have to, or do we do what we do because we want to? Is it discipline or delight? I wonder if the psalmist can help us and help cast a little bit of light on this matter, as sometimes we have to discipline ourselves to do what is right. And in that end, it works out for our good, even our delight. I want to read a portion of Psalm 37 this morning. Psalm 37 starts like this: "Do not fret because of those who are evil, but be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." Jesus demonstrated a wonderful balanced life. He spent that quality time alone with his heavenly Father. And also he spent that quality time with his disciples, as well as ministered to the multitudes. It is important for us to enter into the Holy of Holies. It is important for us to spend that quiet time, that personal time with the Father. But it is also important for us to spend time outside the camp, taking the good news to our world. Another area we need balance in is referred to by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4:15. Speak the truth in love. This is really a good illustration of balance. To do it well requires balance, a careful balance between truth and love. If we have truth but not love, we have futility, or worse, we have bullying and brutality. Seldom will the truth be heard, or at least it will not be respected, if it is not handled in love and care. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, "If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal." But if we have love but not truth, then this can go such a variety of different directions and ways. As we have I'm sorry, as we may have heresy and confusion and lack of trust and confidence, as anything goes, if we don't have truth. Both result in confusion, misperception, and mistrust. And the ministry will not prosper. I remember a well-respected retired pastor shared with me before I even started the pastoral ministry. He said, "Mark, people will overlook a lot of poor preaching if they know that they are loved." Boy, I respected him. He had no malice at all when he shared that. Now, he knew what kind of a preacher I was. But he had no malice at all. He really genuinely was giving me some wise counsel. Love people. As you love people, you will earn the right to be heard. Blessed are the balanced. We can even get off balance when it comes to doctrine. Now, I don't say sound doctrine. I simply said doctrine. I believe sound doctrine is good theology. But imbalanced doctrine is bad theology. Are we a church that proudly declares justification by faith as a great scriptural truth, but fail to balance it with the emphasis on right and godly living? Or are we busy doing all kinds of good things, encouraging and supporting others, but unable to define justification or to give the reason for the hope that is within us? Paul declares, "We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of works," in Ephesians 2. And James says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has not deeds? Can such a faith save him?" A rhetorical question, which answer is no. Is this a contradiction in Scripture? No, it's a matter of balance. Our faith ought to be seen in our works. Though we are not saved by our works, the way that we live, ought to be the evidence of a saving faith. We need balance when it comes to fellowship and discernment. Some churches are so closed that their own personal fellowship that no outsider can get in, even though they may be a member of a like-minded church body. In a different denomination, one of our members, good standing members, one who was even in leadership in the church that I was pastoring, went to a sister church and was refused communion because they weren't a member of that church. Other churches are so welcoming, willing to receive and accept everyone, that there is no standards, requirements, or expectations on membership. Scripture warns us not to judge by showing partiality or favoritism on the basis of influence or wealth, but neither are we to turn a blind eye to sin and false teaching, but rather address it and help the brother or the sister deal with it. Sometimes the congregation needs to feel warm and welcomed and loved. And other times, the congregation needs to be made to feel uncomfortable and corrected. And as leaders, we truly need wisdom, discernment, and direction from the Holy Spirit regarding such things. Galatians 6 starts off, "Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions." We also need balance when it comes to the area of building or battling. Some believers are just not happy unless they're picking a fight or defending a doctrine or opposing a trend. I've met these. They're good to have in the body because they can alert us to situations that many of us are just paying no attention to. But there are others who shun the battlefield and prefer to spend their time building the church with love and kindness and gentleness and tolerance. Folks, we need both. I am reminded of Nehemiah when he had permission to return to Jerusalem from Babylon after hearing that Jerusalem was in such ruin. And as they started rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem, they became aware of great opposition from the neighboring countries. And as Nehemiah continued to lead and encourage the people, he wrote in Nehemiah 4, "When Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairs of the walls in Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry. All of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night." Nehemiah was one of those Israelite leaders who was so practical, wise, considerate, and effective in a very difficult and challenging time. And as the opposition continued to mount, he continued to lead well and wisely, trusting in the Lord, as the rest of Nehemiah 4 reveals. There is a time to focus on building, and there is also a time to focus on fighting and pray for God's wisdom, courage, and strength to do what needs to be done at the proper time and in the proper manner. I'm so encouraged when I hear of those of you who continue to pray for the leadership of Forest Baptist Church, that we might lead well to the glory of God. Please continue. And there is a need to be balanced between knowledge and experience. I understand some people don't want to hear those sermons or lessons about doctrine and the challenging portions of God's word. They just want to feel fed and good. And then there are those who say, "None of that emotional stuff, just give me the meat." And here I find one of the greatest challenges in ministry: to encourage you to grow in your knowledge and love for the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, to truly love one another and to do the work that we are called to do. As we serve with our hearts and our heads, may we grow in our knowledge of our God. So why do we need balance? To live an imbalanced life, Christian life, requires little. It takes little personal discipline to do that. We just dedicate ourselves to our cause, to our truth, and stick to it, come what may. You don't have to grow or be challenged. You just hold on to your little piece of truth and press on. Winston Churchill defined a fanatic as a person who can't change his mind and won't change the subject. An imbalanced life has some appeal because it seems safe and secure and purposeful. But it is dangerous, as it is built on half-truths and ideas that are isolated from reality. The Pharisees strictly followed the Old Testament, their laws and the traditions, and they considered themselves to be a holy people, safe from the judgment of God. Yet they received Christ's most clear condemnation. Pray. Pray for those who teach here in FBC, that they might live and teach the truth in balance. The Christian life is not necessarily an easy life. If we are growing, we will repeatedly be faced with new situations that demand new insights from the Word of God and new grace from God's throne. The balanced Christian life is not manufactured. You cannot get it by following six simple rules. The points that I have shared with you this morning have no simple formula for achieving balance. It requires commitment and discernment in devotion and duty, in truth and love, in sound doctrine, in fellowship, in building alliances and drawing battles, in emphasizing knowledge and experience. As we spend time in God's Word, participating in worship with God's people, and seeking God's direction, we can be absolutely confident that God will be at work. So here is my encouragement to you. Meditate on God's Word. And as you do, share your insights and your blessings with one another. It seems like we have no problem at all talking about the weather or U.S. politics or the sports. Share the things that are happening in your relationship and your understanding of God's truth and the blessings that you are receiving or the challenges that you're getting. Let us share that information. Pray. Pray that we might live in God's power and enjoy His blessing. You know, it's truly, truly, truly amazing that we have been given audience with Almighty God. That He is open to our conversation. That He is recipient of our heartfelt praise. That our requests move His hand. It's it's totally amazing that he has given us that privilege, that opportunity, and yet so often we fail to take advantage of it. Serve one another. What a blessing to minister to one another, to come alongside and help when there's help desperately needed. I am eternally grateful for the pastor that ministered in a small Baptist church across the road from my grandparents, who one day crossed the road and introduced himself to my grandfather, who had made no profession of faith. And as he got to know that pastor took the opportunities to speak truth into his life, and he was eternally changed. What a blessing to minister to one another. And maybe, just maybe, we might be the answer to someone else's prayer, as we would be led by the Spirit of God to minister to our neighbors. And finally, surrender to the Holy Spirit, who leads, who guides, and who keeps us in balance as we look to him and as we trust in him. We have been offered such a wonderful life. Let's not get distracted by all the things that this world says we need, but to enjoy our Father and one another as we make this pilgrimage together. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are humbled to realize your great grace that you pour upon us, for the privilege we have of knowing you, for the wonderful gift of eternity, for the confidence that we have that we can call upon you in times of blessing and in struggle, and know that you hear us. Oh, Father, you are such a good God to us. What an amazing thing to be called children of God. Thank you. Thank you for the demonstration of your love to us, and that we do not need to carry around the burdens of sin and of the past, but we can bring them to you and find total relief from you. Lord, may the enemy not have influence on continuing to bring these things to our mind, but to know that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you. Lord God, may we be pleasing in your sight. May we be faithful in honoring you and worshiping you and in serving you. Lord, may we be instruments in your hands. And we pray these things that you might be glorified, that you would be at work here in Forest Baptist Church and in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.